Rat Pack, where you at? Hey, what's going on?
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yes, it does. It's Monday, August 5th, and I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. We're going to talk the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. We're almost on the team previews here, and of course, later in the week, we'll get into some strategy stuff. I have two drafts the same day on Saturday this week, so I'm in like full-blown strategy mode, so might as well share the wealth with you. Also been sharing the wealth with you guys in terms of draft boards. A lot of people hit me up on this thing like, yo, what was that draft board company? What's the promo code? So it's fjfantasy.com, and they gave me a promo code for 10% off for you guys, RATCLIFFE. That's my last name. That will get you 10% off over there. And honestly, it's like just, it's a straightforward, no-frills product that is really good and very clean, very easy to use. The thing stands up by itself. You get all the different stickers. And by the way, it's 10% for any order. You know, so some people are like, yeah, I'm in an IDP league. I actually had to order the IDP stickers as well. And so it all comes off at the end, the entire order. FJFantasy.com. Go check it out. All right, let's dive in. We'll also do some voicemail and listener emails later in the show. But let's like kick it off right away here. San Francisco 49ers. And actually, the timing is great because I just saw somebody in the FTN Discord right before I clicked record here saying, is this true? Are all of the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors true? And they pointed to a news blurb from one of the sites in the industry and the rumors to the Steelers. And they're citing a radio host from Pittsburgh, like a sports talk radio host. I mean, in my experiences, and I used to do news blurbs back in the day at Roto World, that typically isn't an ideal source. You know, if it's not Adam Schefter or one of these, you know, Rappaport, one of these NFL insiders, if it isn't a beat writer who, you know, either they're with a local newspaper, they're with The Athletic, they're with ESPN, usually it's a stretch. And I would really just take it for what it is. As of this point, we haven't heard from any of those folks. I got to check Pro Football Talk after I get off the podcast here, but I haven't seen an article about it from Mike Florio and company. So I just don't think it's true at this point. I keep going back to the idea of why in the world would this team want to trade Brandon Ayuk away right now? Now, I get why they would want to trade him away in April, because in April, when you trade him away, what do you get? Draft picks. And then he can use those draft picks to maybe perhaps even fill his hole in the roster. And before you give me anything about Ricky Pearsall, he's not Brandon Ayuk. Now, granted, very few people are, but he's a very different style player than Brandon Ayuk. He, you know, I view Pearsall more as a slot, even though, yes, he can move around the formation. He did so last year, but I view him more as a slot receiver. If anything, he's an upgrade on Juwan Jennings. He's not a replacement for Brandon Ayuk. So the only other way you would make this deal is if you're getting a young wide receiver in exchange. So like, what are you getting from the Steelers? Like, hey, we'll give you Van Jefferson and some change. Like, no, you don't want that. There's only one player on that roster who would fit the bill, and there's no way the Steelers are giving up George Pickens on a rookie contract. Like, it's foolish. They're also in a Super Bowl window where Brandon Ayuk is really stinking good and could really help them along the way. Yes, you have Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is more of an offensive weapon than he is a true wide receiver. Like, this is your number one wide receiver. This is a guy who is one of the, coming off of, especially last year, one of the best, most efficient seasons in the league. 3.01 yards per route run last year for Brandon Ayuk. He was above 3.0. In the last half decade, that's been done five times by qualifying receivers. So you have to play enough snaps. Five times. Tyreek Hill did it twice. He had back-to-back 1,700-yard seasons, so pretty good. Cooper Kupp did it in his Triple Crown season, also amazing. And then two other receivers did it last year, Brandon Ayuk and Nico Collins, which is also awesome. Why? I think, if we take this as a sports talk radio scenario, or if we're thinking from the mindset of that dude who just tosses out trade offers all day long in fantasy leagues, then sure, that might make sense. But how does it make sense for the 49ers? Not to mention the fact we've already been down this road with this team. We've been down it with Nick Bosa. We were down it with Debo. Now, granted, we are a little bit later. Debo was July 31st, 2 years ago. Now, it's August 5th. So, but this is a week as well where everything would ramp up. This is the first week of the preseason. Yes, I know we had a preseason game on Thursday, but this is the first week. Like, this is officially week one. All 32 teams, 16 games, and there's something different when these guys are on the field. I realize this is just the first dress rehearsal, but there's something different about that, and the sense of urgency will ramp up. We also saw over the weekend, I don't know if you caught this, but Kyle Shanahan giving Brandon Ayuk a hug on the practice field. Brandon Ayuk's there. He's just not practicing. I'm just not buying it right now. Now, I'm not stupid enough, because I used to be stupid enough when I do podcasts and radio shows to like be like, he's never getting traded. Yeah, that's dumb. I would say, I can't say it's a 0% chance, but I really highly doubt that that actually plays out. So what are we doing in the meantime? Well, I'm taking the discount, that's for sure. Any opportunity I can to take a discount on Brandon Ayuk, I'm going to take that discount. Like, no doubt about it. In best ball, you're getting that discount. I got him at wide receiver 19 earlier today. I don't know if that sticks in redraft, but if I can get this dude in the third round, he should be an early to mid second rounder. Get him in the third round or later, I'll take the discount all day long. Obviously, I do think something is going to happen before the bulk of our fantasy football drafts play out in a couple weeks here, but that's kind of where we are currently. Debo's there. Debo's awesome. As I said, he's not a conventional wide receiver. I mean, you looked at what he did last year. He had 60 catches. Like, that's good, but it's the fact that he had 5 rushing touchdowns. He adds 225 additional yards on the ground. You know, he goes over 1,000 scrimmage yards. That's really where he makes up for it. So no issues there. If Ayuk was signed, I'd have Ayuk 12, 13, somewhere in that range. And then Debo, I'm going to keep at 15 regardless. But well, wait and see mode, wait and see mode. I don't think we're going to have anybody else relevant there. You know, Christian McCaffrey's awesome. I keep getting asked the question, like, would you deviate from McCaffrey at first, number one overall, if you're picking first? No, I wouldn't. But that's me. Again, it could be different for you. Like, if you don't feel comfortable doing a build with a running back in round one, then don't do it. Like, ultimately, it is your team. But I have no issue with it whatsoever. I will take him. That means I will go hero RB. I used to call that pun RB2, but I'll go hero RB. Easy peasy. No questions asked. But it could be different if it's you. You ultimately have to make that determination. But I will not deviate from the draft board that I set up. And he is number one overall. And that's across all formats, too. Like, if I had the number one pick, believe it or not, in a super flex, I am taking Christian McCaffrey. I'm not taking Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, or whoever your number one quarterback is. Now, again, you might want to build a roster differently, so you do what you got to do. But there is a method to my madness. And as I said, when we get into the strategy stuff, I'll get more into that. Brock Purdy is coming off of a really impressive season. He proved me very wrong in the beginning of his rookie year. You know, he goes out there, well, beginning for him, when he started and started making some plays, I'm like, this can't last. Well, it lasted. It lasted. And then it lasted into the next season. Coming off of an injury, he still sets the single season passing record for the 49ers, not for the Bears. Sorry, Bears fans. The 49ers, 4,280, 31 passing scores. I don't think we've seen his ceiling yet. And the benefit to him, he's a very cerebral player. He's not necessarily maybe the most athletically gifted. Of course, you put him up against Lamar Jackson, and yeah, of course. But very cerebral, can run the offense, super smart, and he's just a quarterback, you know? Plus, he has all of those weapons at his disposal, which I really like. You know, and that is, I am including Ayuk in the mix. So I have a 10th round grade on Brock Purdy. If he's there in the 10th round, I have no issue taking him. If I took Brock Purdy, I'm not taking any other quarterbacks. Because remember, there's no such thing as a backup quarterback in fantasy football. There's only your second quarterback, right? You really don't have a backup because you can't change quarterbacks mid-game. That's what a backup really is. So I don't feel the need to take a second quarterback if I get him, but I have a 10th round grade on him. He probably doesn't get to the 10th round in one quarterback leagues, and that's fine. Doesn't, you know, there's no players that I absolutely have to have, but I really like him this year. Of course, George Kittle is here as well. Kittle and Pitts are the bottom end of my tight end wheelhouse group. And that group, I would say, you know, I would love these guys to fall into the seventh. Maybe they do in home leagues, but it's probably more like the sixth round. So when that tier dries up, I want to get whoever's at the bottom of that group. And for me, that group starts with Trey McBride. Then, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in this order for you, but this is the order I have it. I have it McBride, Mark Andrews, Dalton Kincaid, Kittle, and Pitts. I've seen Kittle fall further than Pitts. I've seen people draft Evan Ingram ahead of Kittle. I have no issue taking Kittle with his ceiling. Now, granted, there are a lot of mouths to feed in this offense, but still, it's a ceiling play with George Kittle, and I do like that out of him. It doesn't hurt that he was pretty awesome on that receiver show as well. The team is pretty straightforward, though, right? There's a lot of talent here in San Francisco. Not quite exactly the same scenario here in Seattle, but there's a lot of intrigue here. You have Ryan Grubb coming in from Washington, where his offense was one of the best in the nation last year. You had Michael Penix throwing to those three wide receivers, all of whom were drafted before the end of the third round. Obviously, Rome Odunze was the top guy, but Jalen Polk and McMillan, both of those guys were, you know, they were gone before day two was over. So really interesting group. And in a lot of ways, I see the parallels here with this group. You know, if I was to say, who is Odunze, that's DK. Who is McMillan? I go Smith and Jigba, and then I'd give the Jalen Polk comp in some ways to Tyler Lockett. They're not exactly the same players, although Odunze and DK have a lot of similarities, but you could see those players playing those roles in that offense, and that's not bad. You know, it's definitely not bad for Geno Smith, who's a little banged up, but this is one of those reasons why you don't overreact to injuries in the preseason. He was fine. He'll be practicing by this week. Watch. So Geno Smith throwing to those guys. I don't like Geno in one quarterback leagues, but I don't hate it. If you really waited, you kind of played a little bit of chicken with the draft and you waited and got him as your second quarterback, maybe in a super flex. It's maybe a little too rich for my blood. I'm usually drafting my second quarterback before that point, and then I'm drafting my third quarterback after he's off the board. But it's not like an absolute devastating scenario. Now, if he's your first quarterback drafted, yeah, that's pretty rough in a super flex. But he's got those receivers to throw to. He is coming off of, it wasn't as good of a season, obviously, as what he did in 2022, but it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't great for fantasy, but it wasn't a bad football season, and I think that's the most important thing. Now, as far as the receivers are concerned, obviously DK Metcalf is the top option for me. I always feel like I'm just a tick ahead on DK compared to where market is when we draft in August. Like, at least the last 2 years, it's felt that way. I met wide receiver 19. He's going a couple picks later. I have no problem taking him as what would probably be my third wide receiver in a lot of situations. No problem there. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I have a tick ahead of Tyler Lockett. I have met 43, Lockett at 46. This really is kind of almost my thought process that this year Smith and Jigba surpasses Tyler Lockett. It may not happen in September or October, but that's sort of where the trajectory is going. He's a 22-year-old wide receiver. Tyler Lockett's going to be 32 this season, and he's had a tremendous career, quietly very good fantasy career, but I ultimately see, you know, the changing of the guard happening this season. So that's where I am on those guys. As far as Kenneth Walker, remember last year when they drafted Charbonnet and everybody was like, oh, Charbonnet's going to eat into his work. Well, Walker went from 17.0, like right on the nose, 17 touches per game in 2022 to 16.5 per game. So really no impact there from Charbonnet. The only problem I have with Walker, it's not him, it's just where he's being drafted. I don't view him as an anchor. He's right on the edge, but I don't view him quite as an anchor. And so that means almost every single time he's going to go during the running back dead zone. I really think it would be rare to see him fall outside of that and get to round seven. And that's all right. I don't have to have him. If I did draft him, like if you're a robust running back drafter, you're probably not drafting him as your first running back because you already probably took one or two before him. In that case, I would not prioritize handcuffing him with Charbonnet because the other guys are more valuable ahead of him. And those would be the guys I'd be handcuffing. Or at least the top guy I would be. Noah Fant is interesting, probably more interesting for me in best ball, where I think I'm at like 25% on him right now in terms of exposure. But I wait a lot of times in best ball at tight end. I don't go with a wheelhouse approach in best ball simply because I really don't care about having to make start sit decisions or anything like that. Like, or I'm not only going to have one, you know, because in redraft, I'm going to have one. I really don't typically have two. I don't like to have to make a start sit decision at tight end. So I get one. And then that's just my guy. And I would much rather it be like tight end 6 or 7 who I'm drafting than tight end 16, 17, 18, 19, like the range where Noah Fant is going. In best ball, we don't have to worry about that. Noah Fant's actually going later. I'm at 22. In best ball, we don't have to worry about that. So what I'm doing is I'm taking 3 tight ends and I'm just trying to score touchdowns with those guys. And I don't have to make a start sit decision, so it really doesn't matter. So I'll take 3 guys later and you know, just play it from there. And so that's what I do in best ball. He's not draftable. Noah Fant isn't in redraft, though he could be. He's a watchlist guy. He could be at some point. I wouldn't put it past him. And he, you know, interestingly enough, this is his age 27 season. And a lot of times we see that's when it clicks for tight ends. No Will Disley as well. Like they kind of unloaded that tight end room. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on him. So there you go. Still to come, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tennessee Titans, and then we'll also do the Washington Commanders and we'll roll from there. This week is another weird week for me because I am traveling on Friday. If you're going to be at the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton this weekend, stop by, say hello. I'll be walking around all over the place there with a goofy grin on my face. So just stop by and say hi. I love getting to meet people who listen to the podcast. But this week, Monday through Thursday, we're doing shows. No Friday show this week because I'll be in the air after I get off the air from SiriusXM. I'll be in the air on my way to fabulous Canton. All right, let me get to some emails first. Then I do actually have 2 voicemails to play today. Maurice checking in with an email that says, first to pick. Okay, longtime listener. Happy I'm back. I really didn't go anywhere. It was just this podcast I wasn't allowed to do. That's all. But go back and listen to the first episode. So he's got 12-teamer Superflex. And he said he is looking at picking around 8th or 9th. Okay. He said, should I go wide receiver, running back? See, I'm not going to do any of this. I'm not going to lock into any position before the fact. I'm going to set the board and go from there, like set my draft board. And then when I'm up, I'm going to use a very specific strategy in Superflex. This year, I'm waiting until at least 12 quarterbacks are taken. That doesn't mean I have to take quarterback 13. In fact, in the draft I did over the weekend, I think it was like 16 before it came to me, or 16. I think it's 16, and I took Justin Herbert. And then I took QB19 was Matthew Stafford. Okay, cool. I'm all right with that. But my strategy is in round 1, take the highest non-quarterback on my board. Unless for some reason, well, no, it would be impossible this year because there's 12. So no matter what, it would be earliest I'd take one would be round 2. And I don't even know if that happens. But anyway, highest non-quarterback on my board. If it's a running back, then guess what? I'm doing hero RB. If it is a wide receiver, we go to round 2 and we pay attention to quarterback. And then we do the same process. We do the same thing in round 3. This weekend in my Superflex draft, I went wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. So I was off to the races on 0 RB and totally cool with that. And I ended up being just fine. If you want to see that draft board, I did post it on Twitter. I ended up with Ramondre Stevenson, Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, J.K. Dobbins as my running backs. Not great. It's not great, but I didn't start drafting them until round 8. My wideouts, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Davante Adams, Tank Dell before that point, and George Kittle as well to go along with Herbert and Stafford. So I don't think you lock into positions at all. So let's see, Bill checking in. He, no subject. Bill's not a subject guy. He said, I was wondering why on the tiers cheat sheet you have Breece Hall in the elites. However, in the non-PPR, you have running backs like Saquon and Jonathan Taylor ahead. Yeah, because that's based on the subtle scoring difference in non-PPR. And honestly, I really don't like the 1.0 draft boards. I really don't. That's why I moved away from them. Like, I don't use them. The only reason I kept them around at ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off, is because some people did like them. But I get questions like this all the time. The scoring difference between PPR, non-PPR, and half PPR at the end of the year, like where these guys finish, is so marginal, it doesn't matter. So I just use one board, regardless if it's PPR, half. I don't play in any non anymore, but regardless, I just use one board because it's all relative anyway. And like in that format, you know, yeah, okay, Saquon Barkley is ahead of Brees, but not by much. So it really doesn't matter. Pick the guy that you like. And I know this is not the advice that a lot of people give, but what we're really doing is we're looking at a range of outcomes. We're not looking at absolutes. Like people view rankings as these absolute binary things, and they're not. They are not at all. It's very misleading. So there's a range of outcomes. And even in non-PPR, Breece Hall, his ceiling is just as high, if not higher, than Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley. The one thing that's different is those two project to have more carries. You know, they're not going to be, well, Barkley will be more involved than Taylor in the passing game, but Breece Hall, he'll be one of the highest volume backs in the passing game. So he doesn't get the PPR points. Whoopity-doo. He's still going to get the yards. He's still going to get the touchdowns he scores as a receiver. So I don't like the draft board. I'll keep making it because people want to use it, but I really recommend just using 2.0. It's so much less confusing, and it's just straightforward. I love the 2.0. It's what I use, 2.0 format. EJ, auction keeper. I can probably tell you already where this is going, but we'll see. He said he has two keepers. He's given me his budget. I'm not going to bore you with all of this. So how I establish an auction keeper is really simple. I'm going to take my market values, and I'm going to compare what my keeper values are. So, for example, he has Christian McCaffrey at $62. I'm going to tell you, that's like basically almost, that's like on market. Let me see what my latest numbers are here. So, $62 for Christian McCaffrey, and right now I am at 63. So you're saving a dollar there. But he also has Kyren Williams at $14. I can guarantee I have a lot more. Yeah, I'm at 35. So you're saving $21 on him. AJ Brown, you have at $46. I have him at 34. You are spending 12 extra dollars on him. Chris Olave at 22, you're saving $3. So you keep, like, there's one obvious answer here. Now the question is, do you really want to spend $62 on a running back? Because I don't. And then I guess it's Olave, but ultimately my objective, and I don't want to just sit here, like, I'll be honest, like, I don't want to sit here and just tell you what to do. Like, who does that really help, right? It doesn't help you. You might think it helps you, but it really doesn't. And then on top of it, I've been in this game way too long. I know how people weaponize that against me, you know, and I'll be honest with you. Like, you know, people come at you, like you say, oh, I would keep these two. And then 6 weeks from now, oh, nice job, Ratcliffe. Yeah, I could do your job. But the reality is, like, it's your team. It's not my team, right? And so I'd rather just tell you how I make the decisions, and then you can make them for yourself. And how I make this decision is simple. I want to save the most money. And the reason for it is then I can spend more money on draft day. So that's how I'm going about that with any of these keeper decisions in auction. Let's see. Matthew checking in. Best ball in Washington State. Okay. He's been a follower of the SiriusXM show for years. Appreciate that, man. He said, I very much appreciate your dedication, not pronunciation, dedication, to providing cutting edge analysis as a means for listeners to better understand and enjoy the game. He said that following the advice, he's been able to build more durable, competitive rosters. Yeah, that's the idea, man. He said, to get ready for draft season, you'd love to prep. Unfortunately, he's not allowed to participate in paid website or websites with paid options in Washington State. He's asking about free. I mean, you can set up free best balls on myfantasyleague.com. You can. That's where we were playing them 15 years ago. That's how I first found out about best ball. I was like, wow, this is awesome. You just draft and then it sets your lineup for you. So I don't think there's any like publicly available like that you just go to a lobby or something like that, but you could create them yourself and see if you can wrangle in 11 other people to play with you. That's probably the best approach that I would recommend. Travis checking in. He said, the league from 1985. Are we going back in time here? We hopping in the DeLorean? He said he's been buying the draft guide since 2017 or 2018 and followed from PFF to FTN. I appreciate that, man. The draft, man, I remember the was it 20 to 2016 draft guy was the first one I wrote by myself. Boy, that was hard. I still don't know why I do it to myself every year, but it's a lot easier. It's not easy, but it's a lot easier now than it was back in 2016. But I appreciate you, man. He said, one league he's in started back in 1985. And by the way, thank you, Travis. Your leagues like that, allow me to do what I'm doing. Like, if there weren't those leagues, hell, none of fantasy exists, right? You guys are the OGs. I did not play in 1985 as a little kid, but you guys are the OGs. And without you guys, there's none of this. Like, we are all built on, you know, your backs. Like, it's awesome. Thank you. One quarterback, three running back. Okay. Four wideout / tight end, kicker and a defense. He said scoring is different. Touchdowns depend on length. Yeah, that's an old man thing. I'm in a league like that. Drives me nuts. I mean, I can't change it. I brought up changing the rules, but some of these guys just love the old man bonuses. I don't know. Anyway, he said running backs and wide receivers get 1 point per 20 yards. Yep, that's an old man league thing too. 1 point per four receptions. Quarter point per reception, essentially. He said, I was wondering what your keeper and draft strategy would be in a league like this. Do you treat it like a dynasty or a keeper? How many keepers do you have? Oh, keep eight players. Okay. Essentially, the first eight rounds of the draft are done through keepers, and then you begin from that point. No, I would treat this like a redraft. You are keeping a lot of players, but still, in redraft, my priority is different than in dynasty. Like in dynasty, my goal is not only to be competitive this year, but to make sure I'm always keeping an eye on like that sort of 3 year window. I really can't go any further out than that because of running back, unfortunately. Just that running backs have a short shelf life. But I'm keeping an eye on that. In a keeper league, I don't give a crap about next year. Even if I have eight keepers, I'll find eight keepers. I'm not worried about that part. I'm going to build a roster that is more than good enough to have at least eight keepers on it. But I want to win this year. I'm not worried about next year. I'm not worried about age. So not treating it like a dynasty league. Dynasty leagues, we manage the entire roster. We're not just worried about who are we keeping from last year. It's a continuity thing too. As far as strategy, draft strategy would still be very similar. Now, remember, keepers are just draft picks you make before the draft starts. So I would be conscious of how I'm starting to build things, but I'm not going to get too cute with it. Usually it is the eight best players who I would keep. Hopefully that helps. If you want more specifics, you can always email again, Travis. By the way, the email, if you're listening now and you're just kind of getting into the fold, therantpodjr@gmail.com is the email address. Joseph saying draft strategy in a unique scoring league. He joined a league with a unique scoring setup, 10-team, third round reversal. I feel for you there. Quarterback, running back, wide out, tight end, three flex, five bench. It's a little light on the bench, but I guess it's not terrible. It's a 6 point passing touchdown. You have 0.25 per completion minus 0.5 for incompletion. So that's kind of like a modified like NBA scoring system right there. Minus four for interceptions, receptions a half point, rushing attempts 0.25, targets. Where are you able to use targets? I'm curious. Are you doing this by hand? 0.25 per target, 0.5 per first down. Tight ends get extras for all this stuff too. It looks like they get 0.5, 0.75, 0.75, whatever. So the scoring system doesn't change strategy as much as people think it would. In fact, it doesn't change my strategy. What changes my strategy would be the roster requirements. So in a league like this, where you're only required to start one running back, I can all but guarantee you I am going zero RB here. Like I'm not even giving myself the option because I only have to start one running back and I don't need McCaffrey. Like even if I'm first overall, like I would actually have to set my board differently slightly here in that maybe I move McCaffrey down a few spots and I just put CD at one, or if you have Tyreek at one, that's fine too. But I can guarantee you I'm going zero RB here. If I can start up to four wide receivers, I'm going to go that direction. Remember, running backs, they may produce a lot early on, and some of them continue to do so through the entire season, but there's a lot more volatility in terms of injury there. So I could all but guarantee I'm going zero RB. Otherwise, nothing really changes. I would go safe and upside, especially here where you probably don't even have to draft a quarterback until the very end of your draft. There's only 10 teams in a league. There's, you know, 15 to 18 quarterbacks are going to be rostered. Like, there's going to be guys like Deshaun Watson who aren't even drafted in this league, very likely. And, you know, maybe not the best format for him, but, well, you know what? No, maybe it is because he's got rushing attempts. So I would wait there. Yeah, this would be my approach. Zero RB. I would absolutely destroy wide receiver here. I'd get a wheelhouse tight end. It's easier to do in a 10-team league. I would wait at quarterback, and I would attack running back, probably get two or three in this league. I guess three is the number that makes the most sense, given you have five bench spots. So I would get three running backs in a draft, and that's all I'd be looking to get because I know the waivers are going to be chock full, and anybody who's hoarding running backs is probably not going to do well at wide receiver, and I'm okay with that. So it doesn't really change my strategy. The scoring system doesn't. It's more the roster requirements that slightly change things up, but not dramatically. All right, keep hitting me up via email. I still have some in the hopper here that I will come back to. But either way, yeah, keep hitting me up. Let me get over to voicemails. Like I said, I do have two of them. So here's the first one.
Okay, Jeff, glad you back, my brother. Glad you back, man. I have a keeper question. I know, Jeff, it's early August, but I need your thoughts, man. I need your thoughts. See if you can help him out. My name's Buddy. I'm from New Orleans, by the way. Okay. Oh, I love the intro to the pod as well. Okay, here we go, Jeff. I'm in a 10-team auction league, PPR. Three receivers, two running backs, tight end, flex, quarterback, you know, standard, and as far as the PPR could go like that. So it's an auction keeper. You could keep up the two players, one, two, or zero. So these are options. What you think? I could keep Michael Pittman for $20. I could keep Brandon Ayuk for $20. I could keep Rashad White for $24. I could keep James Cook for $21. And I could keep CeeDee Lamb for $61. So, you know, give me your thoughts, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you checking in from New Orleans. I got to get back to New Orleans. Actually, I think I will be back there in February. There's a little game happening there in February. But yeah, so here, Rashad White, let's go through that same process. Rashad White is $32 in my current numbers. That means $8 in savings. James Cook, you get, $28, so you get $7 in savings. So those guys offer you good. CeeDee Lamb, you're overpaying for, so would not be keeping CeeDee Lamb at $61. I'm going to toss him immediately. I love CeeDee Lamb, but that's overpaying. Michael Pittman right now, he is coming in at $21 to get a dollar of savings, and it looks like the same thing on Ayuk. Ayuk, you have, you get $4 on him. So I would probably toss Pittman as well. So now it comes down to Rashad White, James Cook, and Brandon Ayuk. You're getting slightly better value on Cook than you are obviously on Ayuk, but I wouldn't necessarily, overrule Ayuk. Maybe, hopefully you have to wait for a minute before you actually have to make the decision. Like, you know, maybe we hopefully get him signed, but I could see, you know, getting an anchor RB in Rashad White on, you know, slight discount, and then taking the discount on Ayuk and then rolling from there. Now, obviously, if you're a little skittish about that, then just go with James Cook. But yeah, just trying to save as much money as possible, because like you're saying, like, you get that money, you get the ammunition in the draft. So that is a good thing right there. All right. Appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate you. One more. So let's get to the other voicemail.
Personal question for you. And I apologize if you've addressed this in the past. What NFL team did you grow up a fan of, and who was your favorite player? Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, so he obviously knows I don't have a favorite team right now. I love all 32 teams, and I don't think I would give good analysis if I was biased towards or against certain teams. But I'm in the Philadelphia area, so I grew up following the Eagles. And you know, when I was a little kid, I think I was honestly already set up to be a fantasy person because my favorite player wasn't on the Eagles. In fact, my favorite two players were not Eagles. I don't remember more than them. But my favorite player was John Elway, and my second favorite player was Dan Marino. So like, I was already like a fantasy guy before I even knew what the hell fantasy was. But I kind of always rolled that way regardless of the sport. Like growing up, I loved Jordan. obviously. Like, how could you not? Unless he was beating your teams in the championship. I loved Jordan. I loved, like, Wayne Gretzky. I was, like, you know, I was little when these guys were in the heart of their career. I did have a couple, like, Philly players that I absolutely love. Like, Allen Iverson was, he's, like, one of my all-time favorite players in any sport. I liked, you know, when I was a really little kid, I liked Mike Schmidt. I barely remember that, though. I did like the sort of like John Kruk era of the Phillies as well. But yeah, never really had an Eagle as like my absolute, absolute favorite player at any point. I mean, I like Donovan when he was with the Eagles a lot. But even then, I could point to that era and it's like, I loved Peyton Manning. You know, I loved Tom Brady. I loved, you know, some of the like LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Alexander. And there were so many players like that. So, yeah, it was the Eagles. It isn't the Eagles. I don't dislike the Eagles. I think people misinterpret this. It's not that I'm not a fan. I love the Eagles, but I also love the Giants and the Cowboys and the Commanders and the other 28 teams in the NFL as well. All right, if you want to call in and leave a voicemail, feel free. 215-720-1708. And, of course, the email is therantpodjr@gmail.com. All right, I'm checking out now. So in the meantime, do me a favor, ftnfantasy.com, use promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I'm updating cheat sheets later today. So full update, game on. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. And that fjfantasy.com draft board promo code is Ratcliffe. All right, I'm done shilling myself out for today. But I'll be back tomorrow. We'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.